It's always funny when you're watching me open my Bible. Philippians chapter 4. That's where you want to be this morning. Philippians chapter 4. I'm letting you find it. Comes right after Ephesians. If you don't know where that is, use your table of contents. God is good. Well, a few of you know the all the time. I've titled my message this morning, Happy Thanksgiving, Everywhere, Always. Happy Thanksgiving, Everywhere, Always. Those are also the 4 points of my message. I'm finished. I'm just kidding. Because I want to address these ideas this morning. For some, this weekend, like any holiday weekend, it's not a happy one. For some, maybe this particular holiday weekend is not a happy one. For some, this is just the time to take a break from your goals to lose weight and have some pie. For everybody, this is a time to be reminded that God is good. You know, the world teaches us to be thankful for. We are to be for what we have. We are to offer thanks. Our job is not to be thankful for what God gave us, but to be thankful to Him for who He is. It's about directing your thanks. It's not about having the thankfulness. It's about directing your thanks. That's what thanksgiving means. We're a people of thanks-taking, but He wants us to be thanksgiving. That wasn't even in my message. Oops. Another title you could have put on this message, which kind of tells you the direction I'm heading, but somebody stole this title, is Don't Worry, Be Happy. Okay, actually, I guess they didn't steal it. I would have, but let's be reminded of God's goodness. Let's pray before we dig into the Word. God, You're good. You are worthy of praise. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for grace. You are worthy. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, when the young adult group gets together on Monday nights, they make fun of me because when we're studying the Word or just doing anything, really, and something inspires me, I'll go, And I don't know this, but it's involuntary. There's a lot of that as I was preparing this message, and you already heard it once this morning. When we were worshiping this morning over there, I was doing the same thing. God is good, and it makes you go, Or it makes me go, Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and he's reminding them where they ought to put their joy. He is redirecting their attention to God, who is the source of all things good. He will end his letter in a few verses that I didn't read today with the familiar verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. These ideas actually tie together what we just read and what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. It all leads up to I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can rejoice in all seasons. I can be thankful every day. I can come to Jesus always through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe you can't make yourself feel better. Maybe you can't do anything about your situation, but Jesus can. And the secret to happiness is placing yourself in the hands of God. So this morning, I want to give you a secret. It's not really a secret because I'm going to tell you. To everlasting happiness. It's summed up in the four words I gave you already. Number one, happy. Rejoice. An old word. The old comes from French as well as Old English, and both times it means to be made happy again, to have joy restored. Rejoice in the Lord. I just don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm having a good time. Do you know why you don't feel like God is good? Because your feeling isn't to have anything to do with God. I don't feel like God is good. Really? Did you actually tell him that? Because even if you went to God and said, I don't feel like you're good, to engage in prayer with God, he just begins to speak. It doesn't matter. That's why I tell people, if you're having a bad day, if you hate life, tell Jesus. It's going to be, God's not sitting there like, He's not like us. He's not offended. Like, you, how rude. Offense is such a petty human problem. You go to God and say, this is stupid and I don't like what you're doing with my life. And all he does is push more love. It's all it takes. He doesn't even often say things. Oh, because God knows the value of words and knows how to keep his mouth shut. He knows that if he speaks into a situation, God knows that when he speaks, the world was created. He knows that speaking from the word of God, the very mouth of God speaking, causes things to come into existence. I just realized I wasn't holding the mic right. Sorry, sound people. It's been a long weekend. When God speaks, so he keeps himself quiet. You sit there and you let everything out. You tell him how awful it is, how you wish it would change. You are putting your trust in him at that moment. And God just pushes back love. And you find joy again in the presence of God. That's why it says rejoice in the Lord always. Don't rejoice in the church. Don't rejoice in your pastor. Don't rejoice in your church family. Don't rejoice in your family. Rejoice in the Lord. The reason that has such power and such life behind it is because the Lord never changes. Rejoice in the Lord. He will always be the same. He will always be the one you can turn to. He will always give love. He will always give grace. He will always show you mercy. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul says it twice because you're slow. Rejoice in the Lord. You can laugh. It's okay. You can go all the way to laughter. Rejoice in the Lord. Happy is this word, happy Thanksgiving. Happy. Only if you rejoice in the Lord. Otherwise, it's just Sunday, a day you gather with other people because you have to. Otherwise, it's something else. Otherwise, it's just the time you got together to eat pie. Otherwise, it has a different purpose. Rejoice in the Lord. And every day becomes a day to give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. Happy, the second word is Thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, okay, God, sure. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's a lot of prerequisites to your prayer time. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. If you do those first pieces right, you're not going to whine. When you skip the thanksgiving, you skip the prayer, the petition, when you skip all of those pieces and you just whine, that's what you're doing. You just whine at God about how everything isn't the way you want it to be. You just whine at God. Do not be anxious about anything. That's hard. About anything. Again, going back to what I just said about being happy, where are you placing your joy? Rejoice in the Lord always. So that when you come to Him, you're not anxious about anything. What he's saying here is this anxious piece is when you decide to hold the burden of life on your own shoulders. That's all it is. You decide to carry the weight of everything that you have to do on your own shoulders. Jesus asked you to give him everything. And we do not do that. Maybe once a week. That's why you like your church time. That's why you do come back. Because once a week, you're tricked into singing songs about loving Jesus. The rest of the week, you have to decide to do it yourself. On Sunday, you come here and we make you sing it. We put the words on the screen and we look at you judgmentally when you don't participate.
I mean, not this church. It must just be my church. And now none of you want to visit my church. That's okay.
Because you come, you decide to hold all this stuff on your shoulders. You can't be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition. Do you know what this idea of petition is? I had to look it up because I was curious. Petition, the word supplication, which is used in some translations, has a similar meaning, has a similar idea to it. Petition, you have to go before the king, the one that has all the authority, and offer him your reasoning, and offer him even names of people who agree with what's going on. Oh, come on. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you now, and this is the names of my family, and we're just looking for more of you. This is the name of my church. Father, I come before you, and this is the name of my pastor. Petition, the need for petition, the reason that's an interesting word to place in there, petition means that you don't have the authority to change it on your own. You have no power of your own to make any changes. You're going to God with petition. God, I have a petition for you. This is a thing I can't change. This is a thing I have no control over. Here's my petition. Here's my petition. Prayer is just a way of talking to God. The difference between prayer and just talking, I'm just talking right now.
Not really, listen to me. No, I'm just kidding.
But prayer is a relational conversation. It's that sitting across the table having coffee, having a conversation with somebody, actually talking to them, actually listening to them. That's conversation, isn't it?
So now the question is, how many of you actually pray? Boy, my dad's been preaching on this platform the last three nights, and he'll do it again tonight. And he meddles when he preaches, and he just gets into people's business, and he doesn't care. So maybe there's something rubbing off on me from here, but somebody said good. Only one person said good.
By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It isn't just a day to eat. It isn't just a day. Thanksgiving's not a day. It's not even a time. It's a verb.
thanksgiving. I'm giving thanks. Man, am I preaching? I'm sorry. No, I'm not really. It's the only time I get excited in my life. That's not bad. Don't feel sorry for me. I love to preach the word. We should work on it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She took her pillow away that she was going to throw at me, so. It's an attitude. Thanksgiving. I've taught myself. I've made it a habit. It's annoying, actually. Whenever I pray, I start with thanks. I'll sit down and I'll say, thank you, Lord. There's nothing else you can say after that. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, never mind. Thanks. I got nothing now. Thanks. Thanks for life. Thanks for love. Thanks for family. Thanks for whatever I can thank him for. Thank you for my job. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the church. Thank you for where you've placed me. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. God, thank you for the privilege of standing in your presence. Thank you for that relationship I can have with you. And you suddenly just get lost on this train of thankfulness. That's why I teach people, I do, because I've learned this. If you start with thanks, you'll forget why you went to him in the first place. That's why Paul arranges it this way. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. Then you can make your requests known. After you've thanked him for everything you have, after you've recognized all that he's done, after you've acknowledged that you have no power at all to change your situation, it all lies in the hands of the King, of the Creator God. After you've come to that understanding, then ask him for what you're going to ask him for. Because if after you've gone through that whole process, you still have a question, that's worth asking. God, thank you. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. The next one is everywhere. So you're gonna remember this now every time you say Happy Thanksgiving to somebody. Happy Thanksgiving everywhere, always. Everywhere. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You know, the church is marked, unfortunately, not by gentleness. But that isn't our fault all the time. We could be wonderful people in here. And we've got a world that is portraying us differently. We need to be the kind of people that are not bent on proving everybody else wrong, but that are so close to the heart of God, who've learned to rejoice in the Lord always, who've put our trust in him in such a way that we always proclaim his name, his goodness, his grace. We bear his identity. We look like him, smell like him. We are his presence wherever we go. You should carry Jesus in such a way that wherever you go, Jesus goes and the world is better for it. Let your gentleness be known to all. This church has an understanding of moving through transition, because I've been around for two of your transitions. And each time I'm just kind of on the outside waiting for it to be over, and it's almost over, maybe. I just don't want to get your hopes up. That's why I said maybe. Here we are moving through this kind of a season. And all the time you have the privilege, you have the honor, you have the opportunity to show the world what it is to have gentleness, to be kind, to be peaceful. You have the opportunity to say, look, it doesn't matter that everything I thought church should be isn't happening. It doesn't matter. Guess what? You get a new pastor, you know what they're going to do? Change things. Guess what? God decided that that's how it was going to be. I don't think the pastor should make so many changes so fast. Then you shouldn't have come to church. And in fact, life must drive you crazy because God makes sure that the earth is constantly changing. He created it to ever change. Then one day he's going to just really change it and make it right once for all. And we're all going to, that's going to be the end of it all. He's going to fix it, put it all back together. I know that sounds interesting. That's a whole other sermon series. But you have this season of change and you're moving through this time. Everywhere that you go, you have the opportunity to show your gentleness, to be evident in your life that gentleness runs the day. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If somebody has an, you know, we get ourselves all caught up on what the name is of the church. It bugs me because you don't get to be part of these conversations, but I hear them all the time in church leadership circles. And we said, well, yeah, we just recently changed the name of our church so it doesn't say Pentecostal Church anymore. Why? I'm going to offend some people right now, but they want to change the name of our camp to stop saying Lake Elsie Pentecostal Camp. Why? Yeah, see why? Now people are getting upset. Why? I told you I was going to start something. And I leave. No, just kidding. Having been the caretaker out there now for just about a year and seen all of our rentals come through over the year, nobody cares. Camp Emmaus goes out there, they put up their own sign that says Camp Emmaus. They don't care. And for the rest of us, it helps identify who we belong to. So what does it matter? Nobody cares. If they don't know Jesus yet, Pentecostal is just a big, long word. Church identifies what we are, an assembly of people. Get over it. They need to come in here to find out what we are. What does Terrace Pentecostal Assembly really mean? Doesn't mean a renaming committee. Now he asks, whoa, slow down. Although, we got to let it happen because if you got somebody coming in here, then they might do what they want to do. I'm not going to call it that. Your gentleness needs to be evident to all. That's what needs to set you apart. They come in the room and go, I felt welcome. Let me be really honest with you. I do ministry to a great deal of people who were not felt welcome here. I'm just going to leave that one alone and go on to say that when somebody walks through these doors into the room that we put a sign over called Sanctuary, they need to feel safe. They need to feel loved. They need to feel Jesus. They need to know your gentleness. Wow, those people liked me. Or at least they shook my hand, which actually to me does not communicate love. Right, Tiffany? There's a few young adults who understand. Tiffany and Jessica and I were standing there this morning and nobody had to shake anybody's hand. We were all okay to just stand there. Everybody else thought it was awkward. We were having a good time. No handshaking. No welcome. Just, you know, hey, leave. All right. Finish your coffee. Let your gentleness be evident to all, everywhere, wherever you are, with whomever you are spending your time. It should be evident to all that your life is governed by joy in God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Which brings me to my last word, my last point. Always. Rejoice
in the Lord. Always. In the good times. Always. When you stop giving God credit for the blessing in your life, He'll take it away. When you stop acknowledging the King of Kings for running your life the way you enjoy, watch out. You have to rejoice in the Lord when life is going great. When your new pastor is running the church like you thought he should. When they're making decisions. When they're leading in the direction that you want the church to go. Rejoice in the Lord. Because my prayer for your church has always been that God would put it on somebody's heart to come. Not that somebody would see an opening and find a job option, but rather that they would feel the call of God to come. From wherever they come from. Not that doesn't matter. When God says come, I have been given so many requests to go to churches. And I love to hear their pitches because it's so funny. We can give you this, and we can give you this, and we can give you that. I don't care. I'm going to pray about it, and if God says no, then that's it. Who cares? It'd be nice to have a steady salary. That would be great. Instead, God lets me work 3 jobs so I can put it all together. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Life's going great, so give God glory for that. You're healthy, so praise the Lord. We have a tendency to forget God when everything's good and then run to Him when everything falls apart. Your prayer life gets better when life's not going so great. And so you sit there and wonder why your life's perpetually not going so great. Well, if you'd pray in the good times, maybe God wouldn't give you so many bad times. He just wants to have conversation with you. He just wants to be in relationship with you. Boy, am I yelling this morning. He just wants to have this kind of a time with you. He's not looking for you to be distant from Him. So if the good times bring you away from God, then don't be surprised. I'm spitting all over the place. When He brings more bad times in your life. Because to God, the things that we think are good or the things that we think are bad, to God, it's just life. He's like, look, you're not even here for eternity. This is a journey to heaven. All right? So you learn from this journey. In fact, you might understand and appreciate God's grace more if He takes you through some more hard times. So maybe you're going to get to heaven, and because your life was so miserable, you get there and go, wow, God, you're just so amazing. You never thought about your struggles that way, did you? God, just take this away from me. Even Jesus prayed that. You're allowed to pray that. Just make sure you follow it up with Jesus' words, not my will, but yours be done. Even Jesus said that. God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It's going to hurt. I don't want to. Don't make me go to the cross. Is there another way? I don't want to do this. I mean, enough that He's sweating drops of blood. Do you just skip past that because it's a beautiful Easter story? Do you not understand the agony Jesus was in? I don't want to. I don't want to go there. Yes, but your will be done. Then He'd get up and He'd go and He'd read John chapter 18. Just do it. Just read John chapter 18. They come to arrest Jesus. He goes, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, I am. And their response to Him saying, I am, is they fall backwards and fall to the ground. Nobody took Jesus' life from Him. In that moment, He had all the power. I am. What are you here for? We're looking for Jesus. I am. Take me. Let's get this done. always in the good times and the bad times. In the bad times. Rejoice in the Lord. The church grows more rapidly in places where they're under persecution. For thousands of years, well, you know, two and a bit, they've been trying to stop the move of God. And every time they try to stop it, it gets bigger and it gets better and it grows farther. Every time. And the devil's too stupid to figure it out. Every time. We don't understand it because we don't even know what persecution really means. We don't get it. We think because in a public workplace we can't say the name of Jesus that we live under persecution. Nobody can stop the prayers that are going on in your heart. Nobody even has to know they're happening. You can tell how I do my time at work. I'm a driver, so when I'm driving and the vehicle's empty, I actually can pray out loud and nobody has to know about it. But the prayer changes the atmosphere. God is in the room. I don't care. I'm going to pray and suddenly my van is different than everybody else's at work. Who cares? Because God is moving. You think you understand what it is to face struggle and face trial? You have no idea. The church is going to continue to grow. Nothing's going to stop it from happening. Why? Because the Lord, who never changes, is always going to be there. He's not going away. You can go away if you want to. He's not. He won't leave. Your life falls apart. Guess what? He's there with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown in the fire. Guess who showed up? Jesus in the fire with them. Not out of the fire. Didn't take them out of the pain. Just joined them in it and had a party with them in the fire. You want to get through life, you need to learn to find God in every situation. You need to learn to meet with him so that you can say like Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can go through poverty. I can be in wealth. I can go through hunger. I can be well fed. I can face every situation in my life as long as God is with me, is in me, and me and him have a good relationship going. Even in your relationships, your earthly relationships. When my brother was getting married, he shared with me some advice he got from somebody. Boy, I'm preaching so hard, I just about lost my voice. Good thing my dad's preaching tonight, not me. And my brother said, think of it like a triangle. And God is at the top. And you and your spouse are the other two points. And the closer you each draw to God, the closer together you become. I loved that picture. And I'm single, but I still love that picture. That means that no matter what season you find yourself in, you still are pursuing God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, good call, you should sit down, which transcends all understanding. Mom and dad, my mom and dad, just to clarify, I don't know what your mom and dad said, but my mom and dad, Pastor Dad, would always say, if there's no peace in it, don't go.
is not a good thing to do. They taught me that early on. The best way, and people throw that around all the time, but the best way to know that God is moving where you want him to take you is peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. Doesn't make sense to anybody. Doesn't look like you should have peace from the outside. Doesn't look like life should be all put together for you. Doesn't look like you should be as happy as you are. That peace that transcends all understanding. It guards your heart. It guards your mind. It keeps you focused. It keeps you attentive. It brings you back to this place where you gather with other believers. Those people who are finding that peace of God that transcends all understanding, they're the people who are rubbing off on the other people in the church, because they're here so thankful for the goodness of God, because they understand it in a way that those of you who haven't gone through that kind of a season yet, you don't understand it yet. You don't get what it is yet to go through, and I say yet because you will, to go through that time when you are so sure of who God is, even though you have no idea what life is going to do. A peace that transcends all understanding. Nobody else will make sense of it. Nobody else is going to understand it. But God has put something in you that makes sense just to you, and you know who he is. My Father, you can pray for him if you think of it. Blood clots have come back. It hurts me to hear him talk about how he almost cries over the pain. Because I know him, he doesn't cry. There's only two times he cries: when pain is that bad. Or he's in the thick of the presence of God. Those are the only two times he'll find tears on his face. And yet he's been preaching this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He'll do it again tonight. He's preaching this morning at WAPS. God speaks to him in his pain in ways that I don't even understand. He's having trouble walking. He's brought his cane back out. That was the hardest thing for him to do, because he kept the cane as a symbol of God's healing in his life, of what God had done, how God had moved in his life. And he felt like he was going back on that to take the cane. It was so hard for him, but he can't walk. He took the cane out. I talk about this story to tell you that he understands this peace. The only time he's without pain is when he's preaching. Or at least he doesn't notice it. He said that God showed him a picture that the reason the pain has come back and the reason he's hurting in his feet again is so that he can minister to people who are struggling in their walk with God. The one thing that has always stood out to me, my dad has been suffering in pain. He took a 2-year break there, but for about 21 years. What has always stood out to me is it doesn't stop him. He won't let it stop him. When his pain brings him into the emergency room and he's having to sit there and let the doctors figure something out that they can't understand, just about every time he goes, he's praying for somebody. It doesn't stop him. That has been a good encouragement to me, but I'm telling you, rejoice in the Lord always. He's lived that before me. He's showed me what that looks like. Always. Always rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter the pain, even in your own body. That doesn't matter. No, you still rejoice in the Lord. God is still good all the time. It isn't just a catchphrase on a Sunday morning. I'm really sorry how long this is going after I call the music team up. God is good all the time. Even then, God is good all the time. Even then. We're going to move into it's great are you, Lauren, right? Good, I read my sermon or my outline properly. We're going to sing a song. Todd had decided to set it up this way before he knew what I was speaking on. Isn't God good? Why don't you start? Why don't you stand? I'm going to mess up whatever they practice because I'm going to talk for a little, but I want this moment. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light. Great are you, Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Great are you, Lord. Even now, great are you, Lord. Because it's His breath in your lungs, so pour out your praise. It's His breath in your lungs. What is there to be thankful for? Breathe in, breathe out. He's letting you be here today. It's His breath in your lungs, so you give Him praise. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. To anybody in this room who right now, it's not a good day. This isn't a happy Thanksgiving. This isn't a good time. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy again in who God is. Because He's still God. And He's still good. Always.